Shush, everybody. This is Guru Rugu at the Experimental Meditation Center of Kaechung. We are broadcasting tonight in place of Gabby Strong. Gabby, if you're out there, thank you. We've brought our class from the No Name Institution in North Hollywood, remain nameless for tonight, location of higher learning. We've brought some of their its brightest stars tonight to share with you some stuff. So without further ado, let me go ahead and introduce our first guest. Brian Bellow will be presenting some of his he'll be talking about how street dance has increased involvement in today's society. How are you doing, Brian?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Thank As you. You should be. Well, just to give you a little background, my name is Brian Bellow. That's my anonymous name. I'm also known as B, the second letter from Master Movements Crew. I've been dancing for a very long time, I guess, both professionally and just recreationally. And I have seen, I've been part of the maybe second or third wave of the b-boy culture, the breakdancing culture, coming back into the mainstream, I guess you would say. First came in the 70s and then the 80s and then the 90s. So I was mainly part of the 90s explosion, I guess you would say. And it started like just in random nightclubs, and then events started to come out, like contests and whatnot. And before, like, prizes would just be t-shirts and stickers or whatnot, and then it started to get money, and the money started to get more. The prize money started to get pretty good. But now I don't know, I've seen I guess you could see it in the media all the time, like whether you're watching TV, you see like break dancing or like hip hop dancing. And there's movies coming out now. There's one coming out in September called Battle of the Year, which is based off of an event that's held in Germany. It's like a worldwide event. It's pretty cool how it's coming back, and it's not as watered down, I guess, like as it was back in the 80s, because the media had so much control over it. But there's more of a backing now from the culture. But at the same time, there's also like a bunch of people hating on it, saying like it should stay underground or else it's going to have like the 80s is going to happen again. So, yeah, there you go. Any questions?
Any questions from our in-studio audience?
How do you feel about that, Brian?
Alex asked me how I felt about that. Just, I think it's important to support your community. And there's a lot of people out there that just refuse to because of the fact that it's mainstream, and I guess anything mainstream is bad. So I don't know if that's their reason for hating on it or not, but I fully support anything that comes out because it can only benefit everybody else. It'll lead to a lot more opportunities, and like a lot more b-boys and other street dancers will get paid more and respected just like other dancers, which is starting to happen. But I mean, it's kind of weird that that they're getting more respect from outside the community than they are from their own community. It's a sad thing.
Shout out to your wife.
Oh, yeah. And it's Valentine's Day, and I'd like to give a special shout out to my wife. I'd rather spend it with Kaechung Radio. but I'll be seeing her soon, hopefully, if she's not drunk by now.
Well, thank you so much, Brian.
That no was problem.
Fabulous. Next up. Next up, we're going to be hearing from Guile America about internet famous people. So, Guile.
Alex.
Sonic Boom. All right. I'm Guile America, and I basically just want to talk about like YouTube famous people, Facebook famous people, Twitter famous people, and all those other kind of internet famous people. What's up with them? Like, what's the point, really? Like, I understand YouTube famous people, like, they actually make money, you know, from, like, the likes and the viewers and the favorites and all that stuff that you do on YouTube. But I never understood the whole, like, point of having 1,000-plus friends on Facebook. And the only people that I've really seen have, like, 1,000-plus friends on Facebook are, like, scene girls that have, like, take pictures of their cleavage and stuff. And then they only talk to, like, 50 people that they're actually friends with. I don't get that.
With their duck faces.
Or you write jacking off to you about the girls.
Right, and then they get, like, songs written about them about jacking off to their Facebook pics and stuff. It's weird. And then, like, the whole, like, Twitter famous, I kind of get that a little bit because it comes, like celebrities, athletes, political figures and stuff, they have stuff to say. And then, yeah, if your fans want to follow you and then hear what you got to say, like, I get that more. I understand that more than having friends that, like, you never talk about. Like, you never talk to or about. And I don't know. What do you guys think about that? No? Nothing?
I think the people from Facebook, it's pretty sad because I see a lot of... I see it becoming a little bit more like Tumblr now. I think it's pretty sad because I see a lot like Facebook more and more. I see it become like Tumblr now. Like, you see girls just taking pictures everywhere. Sometimes you see naked pictures or just different things like memes. And they have over like 10,000 over friends. And I think it's pretty pathetic.
Right. Yeah, like exactly like the whole like Tumblr thing. Because like blogging used to be about like the whole like faceless blogger thing where they would only post like stuff that they like really cared about, like whether it was music, articles, something, or like either their art, their music, something like that. But now like you have sites like Tumblr where chicks just post up like, again, pictures of their cleavage and their tits and stuff. And then they get like all these like followers and then like sometimes they get like advertisement on it, like from American Apparel or some shit. And like, I don't understand that.
It's finally become MySpace.
It's becoming like MySpace? Like how?
I mean, finally, I think it's at that point now where...
Can I take this off?
Only
I wouldn't.
Oh. The only difference is that there's no... You can't like really modify your page like with sparklies and animated GIFs and whatnot. But other than that, I mean, I don't see much difference just because, you know, there's like when MySpace started to go down is when like all these fake profiles started to pop up with random half naked females and whatnot.
Well, and how you can buy Twitter followers and people just go from, especially celebrity types. And people who want to be celebrities will just pay for, you know, you could buy 10,000 followers like for X amount of dollars, and then they go from, you know, 50 followers to like 10,050 in a matter of a day. And then you look at those people and they're all following celebrities, but they have no profile, and it's just junk profiles, which is pretty ridiculous.
So this is Guru Rugu just popping in here just to remind you, you're listening to a special edition of Gabby Strong's show, where it's our Valentine's Day show, and we're not only talking about being jealous of other people and their relationships, but also jealous of their Tumblr followers. Following numbers, so.
Oh yeah, happy Valentine's Day.
So to continue on with the
boobs.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Speaking like, of cleavage, some Dick Allen is coming on now, and he's going to talk about kidney disease. Welcome.
Hello.
Uncle World. I'm Dick Allen. I'm 31 and I've had a kidney transplant. So I just want to, you know, talk about my experience with finding out I had kidney disease and, you know, going through the process of getting my transplant. So while attending a small wedding in Las Vegas, I began to have like really bad headache while, you know, sitting out on the deck in Caesar's Palace. You know, everybody's all looking very good and I'm just have this mind-crushing headache. But I took some Excedrin, pain went away. Then later on that evening, we were sitting down at dinner and my nose like started just pouring blood out, like literally just both nostrils, just streaming flows of blood. And I obviously it pretty much grossed everybody out. So I, you know, went to the bathroom, got it to stop, went right back, then started pouring blood again. Later that, so after dinner, everybody was going out. I just felt horrible. And so the next day when I went home, I, you know, had a blinding headache the whole ride home and, you know, took some Excedrin again, went away. And so, you know, now that was over the weekends, Monday comes along and I'm sitting at my desk at work and I just can't see. I just have tunnel vision. I see like the size of a quarter, you know, in front of me while having this massive headache. So, you know, I had the secretary bring me into the hospital. So when I got there, you know, they ran all these tests and everybody's acting all weird. And I didn't really know what was going on. Nobody was really saying anything. And then, you know, one of my friends comes up, which is kind of surprised that they would tell them before telling me, but he said, they're surprised that you're even alive based off of your creatinine levels, which creatinine is just, honestly, I don't even know what it is. It's just something that they test in your blood. It's like poison levels in your kidneys. What they do is they get rid of all the toxins from your blood and basically you urinate them out. So I was not getting rid of these toxins. So my level was about 10 times the normal of a regular person, healthy person. So, and I still have the headache. While in the hospital, they started giving me all this pain meds for my headache, and I began hallucinating, like really bad. I saw like Superman, like doing all this stuff, and I saw like marionettes playing and at this point, at first I was keeping it a secret because I'm like, wow, this is pretty fun. And then after like the second day, I've already told the nurses that, you know, you cut down on these pain meds because I'm hallucinating, and they didn't. And then I'm seeing all these colors. I saw like Lakers colors actually, like all over everything.
Lakers.
It was nuts. So and at this time they never even moved me out of the emergency room, which is strange. So I wouldn't recommend going to a hospital in Santa Clarita to anybody. So I'm hallucinating and I see this woman, or I see my nurse, which I swear on my life to this day, she came in wearing a red dress. And I was like, I could see the stars and I thought I was outside. So I was like, what the hell's going on? She was like, she had like this, I saw these colors. So I, you know, got freaked out when I saw her have these pills in her hand. And it just looked like dirtiness, and I reluctantly took them. I wake up a few hours later, and she's like, "Oh, the nurse is here to give you a shot," and I just freaked out. I ripped off all the little electrodes on my chest, and thank God I didn't rip out my catheter because that went right in my aorta. So, but I was thinking about it, and I started walking home, and my parents found me walking down the side of the road. And brought me to St. Joe's, where, you know, they took very good care of me in Burbank, and you know, had me on dialysis. I spent 3 weeks there before getting out and, you know, beginning dialysis in Burbank at their center. And during that time, my brother and both my sisters got tested for the transplant, and I had to go. I was on dialysis for a year and a half because I had to have heart surgery also before I could have the transplant. And basically, came down to the two sisters and brother. I was a little reluctant to have my sisters have scars on their, you know, like their abdomen. So I went with my brother since they're pretty close in match. And we had a successful transplant. I had a little bit of rejection in the first couple weeks, but after that, I'm 3 years out now. I just had labs a couple weeks ago, and my levels are right where they need to be at creatinine level. It's supposed to be between 1 and 2, and mine's like at 1.3, so I'm doing great. But one point I wanted to make is for anybody, like there's a lot of misconceptions about donation, but there's no risks post-transplant for the donor. You know, once you get out the surgery, you have a few weeks of recovery, and then your life goes back to normal. So, you know, if you ever have a chance to donate an organ to somebody, then, you know, I would seriously think about it, because you are saving somebody's life, because it's pretty amazing what you can do, what transplants can do for somebody. So thank you, and happy Valentine's Day. Yeah. This was Dick Allen. Out.
Yeah, thank you, Dick. That was very heartwarming. Beginning of the evening here on a Valentine's Day. Did that happen to start around Valentine's Day? Did you?
No. This was in around June.
Yeah.
About five years ago, or 4 years ago, June. So. It's been 3 years since I had the transplant, so it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, so now's a good time. It's Valentine's Day to find partners so that they can take care of you when you get sick in June. All right? Would you recommend people find someone close?
Yeah, especially if they're willing to donate.
You should definitely, you know, the next, if you're on a first date, you know, it's never too soon to get the blood tests, see if you're if you're, you know, compatible.
Or just
organs.
When they're not looking, just grab a little needle and draw some.
Yeah, it's always awesome. Hot. Well, thank you, Dick. And then next up, we've got, let's see. Oh, Nathan Rocha is going to be talking about electronic cigarettes and how they can help you quit smoking. Hello, Nathan.
Hello, my name is Nathan Rocha. And happy Valentine's Day, first of all, to all our listeners and all the people that are going to listen to this eventually. Happy Valentine's Day to you too, or whatever holiday it is that you so happen to listen to this. If you are smoking a cigarette right now, you should seriously consider stopping. Cigarettes are bad. I mean, our last talk, I mean, the health adversities that you risk taking while smoking, I mean, it's just not worth it. Personally, I was in the military for 6 years, and when shit hit the fan, there was nothing but to do but to smoke a cigarette. And I carried that habit for about 7-8 years, and I was up to a pack and a half a day almost, up until, I believe, 2 years ago, New Year's 2011, 12 maybe, I decided to quit smoking, and I tried different techniques. The patch, the gum, don't work. At least for me personally, they're terrible. Because one of the things you crave the most is, you know, the inhaling of smoke and exhaling. And as soon as, you know, you're on the gum or whatever, and you hit that high stress moment, and you're like, man, I really need a smoke right now. So, I mean, the gum didn't really work for me, and I know a lot of people that it doesn't work for. So my next method of action, went to 7-Eleven, saw these electronic cigarettes there. And those worked the first time, but then I bought a second pack of those, and it just did not do the same thing. And what it turns out, when I did some research, is a lot of electronic cigarettes, they're not regulated. So sometimes some packs that you'll get will have more nicotine than others, and others will like barely have anything. So doing more research online, you know, I found, I'm not like, I don't sponsor them or anything, but this is what I've used personally, is, you know, the Ego cigarette and Ego is good to start off with. Let's start with that. Basically, what it is, it's three parts to it. There's a battery, there's an atomizer, which burns the liquid, and then the liquid itself. And the thing with these electronic cigarettes is, I mean, there are a billion flavors. You got flavors from like barbecue chicken to barbecue ribs to strawberry lemonade, iced tea to menthol to, I mean, you name it, they probably got it. Fruit Loops was a personal favorite of mine, and my room smelled like Fruit Loops for about 2 weeks. So advantages to using this is you put in the juice yourself. You buy the flavor you like. I mean, a lot of people prefer the cigarette flavors. I mean, they have tobacco flavor and the menthol flavor. And you use that, and then you drip it in, and you control your dosage. And with this juice, you can actually control how much nicotine is in the juice. You could buy, you know, different milligram levels. So eventually, you know, if you're a heavy smoker like myself, you would start off at 32 milligrams of nicotine. And then eventually, you know, month after month, you buy lower dosage of nicotine. And, you know, you could cut the nicotine out completely. And from there, transition to not smoking anymore or just smoking nicotine-less juice. And definitely recommend it. Smoking's bad. Any questions?
Are you now addicted to the nicotine-less juice?
I had a question if I was addicted to the nicotine-less juice. I still have a small dosage of nicotine in mine, but it's mostly social vaping. I mean, like, electronic cigarettes, the industry is blowing up. I mean, there are so many people now compared to, like, 2 years ago smoking electronic cigarettes. And, I mean, people, like, freak out because you're smoking in a non-smoking area, and they're like, oh, my God, don't do that. But then, you know, it's only water vapor, so there's no health effects or, you know, as far as the smoke, because it's not smoke, it's water vapor. Doesn't make your clothes stink, doesn't color your teeth all janky. It's healthy, doesn't and it tastes good. Else. Doesn't bother, but then, you know, it doesn't bother anybody else, but they still freak out sometimes thinking that it's smoke. I actually had an incident where I was vaping in class, and the smoke or the vapor was coming out from behind a computer, and a girl in the class freaked out, thought the computer was on fire. Nobody was injured, no fire alarms were set off. It's all right, don't worry about it. And that should be all I have to say. Yes.
But so it's called vaping. Is that what they call it?
Yes. The it's called vaping is the term that everybody uses. And I mean, don't buy the ones from a 7-Eleven is the big thing. You have to go online, do your research. And I mean, I can name stores, but I mean, do your homework online. And it's definitely worth it.
Do you recommend if people don't smoke at all, maybe they start vaping?
Don't do that. I can't stand people that get into vaping that don't even smoke. It's like, why are you doing this? But I mean, you know.
I know, it sounds really awesome.
I just want to look cool in the club.
If you don't smoke, don't listen to anything I just said. Just move, go on with your business.
All right, well, thank you, Nathan, for that very uplifting.
Thank you.
Smoke-free report. next up is Johnny Walker.
Hey, hey.
Johnny is going to talk about the perfect Valentine's Day wedding proposal.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah, hi. I guess yeah, it's been a pretty romantic show so far. So, you know, after you've learned how to vape and of course nothing better than dancing on the radio. That's always a wonderful thing to see and understand. You know, but after you've had all this kind of fun, you got to figure that you've impressed somebody. You found maybe the one that you truly love and want to spend the rest of your life with, and you got to figure out some way to convince them to go along with this program. Now, Brian, you're the only one in the room here that's married, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Congratulations. I am shocked and appalled. I can't figure it out either, but we're glad for you. I really am.
Thank you very much.
And do you remember how you proposed to her? Do you?
I just asked her.
You just had, what were you doing? Where were you?
At my house.
At your house? She came over?
No, we lived
together. You lived together, okay. And she said, well, and you just asked her. And she said, yes.
I was inspired.
How long you been married?
1 year.
And how long were you together before you got married?
4 years.
4 years. Congratulations.
We're thank you very much.
Proud of you, really. Keep it up. I hear.
Absolutely.
You know, after a year or two, it gets easier. I don't know. I'm not married, and really, I'm no expert in it. But I'm going to tell you how you might propose to somebody. Who else to get that advice from but a single guy? Yeah, well, one of the things, the thing I'd heard most from a lot of folks, of course, is try and make it as romantic as possible, but also to make it a surprise. You know, when your girlfriend came home, was she like expecting you to?
Oh, not at all.
You're just doing dishes or something?
She's totally anti-marriage.
Oh.
Well, it was actually a surprise that she said yes.
It was really kind of a risk for you. Good.
It was a big risk, okay. But I was very inspired.
Yeah, see, that's great. You know, a lot of folks will just ask and see what happens. You know, it's kind of like, ask everybody, really. That's what I do. I ask pretty much every woman I meet, and so far it's not going well. But, you know, if you keep asking, eventually they'll find somebody. But what a lot of folks do, they'll do something really romantic, like they'll go to the Empire State Building or the, you know, take a trip to Europe or something like that. Or maybe just a simple restaurant. And then they pull that whole scheme together. They've got where you kind of get the restaurant crew to help you out, put the ring inside of a muffin or something, or you go down on one knee and then pop that ring out and that kind of thing. I was working a comedy show once, and a guest in the audience had made plans with the management to come up on stage and propose to his wife or his girlfriend, and He got up on stage and pulled her up there and did his little speech and all that stuff and asked her, "Will you marry me?" And she said, "You know, we should go outside and talk." And that's, you know, 200 and some people, and it really was the highlight of the show. You know, there's nothing quite as embarrassing as watching somebody else just crash and burn in front of everybody. And that's the thing, you know, you should really, that's really kind of a key to getting engaged is being sure that the person you're going to ask to marry you actually loves you. You know, I mean, it's really a good surprise and everything to maybe ask her after you've had a fist fight, but probably she won't say yes. So that's something to think about when you're plotting this whole thing, when you get your friends around and work up that whole scheme there. And another thing is to get the right group of allies around for you. Sometimes you might pull in a bunch of friends, and it turns out that this friend has been pissing your girlfriend off for years, and she'll just the fact that he's around makes her want to say no. Yeah, okay, there's more, but not really. You know, plan your get that speech together. A lot of folks might try something like writing a poem before they. You know, a lot of one of those things that just doesn't quite work is bad poetry. If somebody's just, you know, reading a poem to you and you hate the poem, it doesn't rhyme, doesn't make sense. You know, you're thinking, am I going to spend 30 years listening to more poetry like this? Maybe I'd be better off alone. I feel alone right now. Yeah. You know, look at the little things. Try and get the right setting. Sometimes you don't have to do all that much. I mean, what Brian did is pretty often the easiest, best way to go with it. Keep it simple. I mean, you meet somebody you love, you know they love you back. Just ask them. And, you know, you don't have to go out to dinner. You don't have to buy, you know, get a limo. You don't have to go to France or anything. In fact, keep all the money you save from not doing all that stuff and hand it to her. Say, and there's more where that came from if you marry me. That's probably what I'll have to do. Okay, I think I'm probably done here. Anyhow, find somebody, propose to them. That's really the key. Just propose to somebody and see what happens. Good luck. Yeah, happy Valentine's Day.
Great advice. Anybody have any questions here?
Proposed to anybody before?
Absolutely not. That'd be foolish, really. I mean, I can barely take care of myself. Come on.
Are you buying into in the future?
Oh, yeah. Lots of folks. I'm sure I've made a list. If I can get anywhere, Lindsay Lohan, perhaps. I will put a rock of cocaine on her finger tomorrow if that would get her to marry me.
Watch out, Lindsay. Fingers crossed she's having a sad night tonight. You can catch the rebound tomorrow.
Oh, probably so. Okay.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Johnny.
You're welcome.
And for our... So again, just a reminder, this is Gurugu, and I am with my group, my class of shamans from the Untitled Institution based in North Hollywood, and we are broadcasting here from Gabby Strong's show. She is gone out of town. And we've got one more person to speak to you about something, and his name is Juan Padilla.
Hit him, Juan.
Sorry, Gabby.
Hello, everybody. My name is Juan Padilla. Happy Valentine's Day out there. I came here to talk about how I sent my brother to the hospital on Valentine's Day. It's an interesting story. I guess I was probably 8. My brother was 7. And we're just watching. We're watching some the new Mortal Kombat movie that came out in VHS. So we're just excited, pumped up of sugar. But mom was in the kitchen cooking, I guess, a Valentine's dinner for my dad coming home late. After the there was a scene in the movie where we saw, I guess, they're throwing each other things at each other, and they're dodging. Me and my brother were like, "Oh, that looks pretty cool. We should do that one day." And we're like, "Yeah, let's do that under the movie." So once we finished the movie, we had the song getting pumped up in the credits, and we're just dancing around, going crazy. And I told him, "Hey, you know, we should start doing it. How about if I turn off the lights and throw each other our sandals at each other?" See, our sandals were not regular sandals. Our sandals were from the swap meet, and they're pretty thick. They're like compressed plastic thick, and it was pretty bad. So when you carry these chanclas or the sandals, they're pretty heavy. And we looked at each other, like, "Yeah, we should throw it at each other, you know, and we'll dodge it. We'll take turns like throwing each other in the dark and see if we could dodge it like, you know, ninjas or so." And my brother looked at me, he goes, "Man, that's the best idea you ever came up with." I'm like, "Yeah, I know." So we turn off the lights, and he was his turn to go first. So he threw it at me, completely missed, hit the wall. I was like, "Okay, then it's my turn." So I kind of cheated because I already knew who he was at because I saw him a little bit. So I was like, "Man, I'm gonna mess him up. I'm gonna throw as hard as I can." And I was aiming for his chest, so I was like, "It wouldn't hurt that bad." So I wind it up, and previous I played a lot of baseball. I played outfield, and I was the first baseman and the pitcher. So I had an arm on me, so I just wind it up and just launched it, and all I hear was a big pop, like, and I just hear him crying. I'm like, "Oh man!" So I ran to the light. I turned it on, and I just see my brother on the floor. I'm like, "Man, he must have a black eye or something. He'll be fine." So I was like, "Oh, you stop crying. You're faking it." And then what I used to do as a kid, so we didn't get in trouble, because when he was crying, my mom would literally get mad at me, and she started grounding me. So what I used to do is I used to look at him, "Do you want to be a man?" So I look at him, "Do you want to be a man? Stop crying. Do you want to be a man? Stop crying." And he kept on crying. He was like, "Let me see your face." He wouldn't show it to me. So once he showed me his face, I guess his eyelid was literally wide open. He was just bleeding from his eyelid. I was like, "Oh, damn!" I started going crazy. So my first instinct was to grab the blanket, and this blanket was all white too. That's a bad part. So I pressured his face, and literally I was literally choking him. I told him, "Do you want to be a man? Stop crying. Do you want to be a man? Stop crying." So there's like, I'm smothering him, literally killing him, and he's almost bleeding through his eye. And the blanket was like full of blood. It was pretty bad. And then I had blood all over my pants and my shirt. And it was like, "Oh my God, what should I do? What should I do?" And just my mom just singing in the kitchen, cooking Valentine's dinner for my dad. I'm like, "Oh my God, how should I tell her?" And my brother was over there in the corner. He stopped crying, but he still had those snot bubbles in the corners. I'm still crying, like, "Oh yeah, I'm fine. And I'm looking like, "Oh man, what should I do? I have blood, he has blood. How should I make this? What should I tell her a lie?" And I was scared. And when going to my kitchen where I used to live at, it was like this long hallway. So I felt like I was in death row, just going towards my mom, like, "Oh my God, I'm gonna die. Just, you know, I should run away, never come back, you know." I was thinking of all these things. I just go, I told my mom, I couldn't even open my breath. She just told me, "What have you done? Why is there blood all over you?" She just ran to my brother, like a lion going after a gazelle. Like, she was like chasing him. I was like, "Wait, what happened? Who did this to you?" And like, my brother said, "Oh, I'm fine. Nothing happened." And my mom just literally just looked at me, and she gave me that Mexican mom stare, like, "Oh man, you're dead." I'm like, "Oh," I was so scared. I literally shit bricks. I was like, I like ran to the closet, like, "No, you can't get me." And my dad came, and it was pretty bad. They had to send to the emergency room. He had to get about 9 stitches. Cops were questioning me, saying what happened. I was like, "It was an accident. There's no child abuse here." It was just bad. It was a bad, bad, bad day. And that was just the first time I sent him to the hospital. there's quite a few incidents, but this is a little Valentine's story. But yeah, that's pretty much how I sent my brother to the hospital. We thought we were ninjas, so I threw a very compressed plastic sandal to his eye.
And fatality.
And pretty much literally almost killed him and smothered him to death. And that's my Valentine's story.
Thank you, so uplifting.
You can feel the love in the room.
Yeah. Yeah, well, thanks, guys, for all the great stories. We're going to, now for the last part of the show, the last 20 minutes, we're going to be listening to some audio from everybody's midterm projects. These were videos that were made both for their provocative, abstract video qualities as well as their audio qualities. And we're going to listen to those now.
Add some sensibility to this issue. Where did you pull out these figures and facts out of However, from the very beginning, we said that the Compassionate Use Act did not provide for the sale of marijuana. And when you have 11359 of the Health and Safety Code making it a straight felony with no exceptions that he could have altered with a stroke of the pen. With a stroke of the pen, he could have said, you know what, I'm going to weigh in here and make it easier for people who are sick to get marijuana. He avoided it like a neutron bomb. He just stayed away
from it. Okay, Mike Fury, is that true?
Larry, the law...
Facebook shares slipped 5.5% at 28.11, and Apple down 2.5% at 442.32. Money News at 10:40 past the hour. Frank Modak, KNX 1070 News Radio.
Hi, this is Ed Asner. Thanks to recent government rebates and the tax incentives, people all over California are actually saving thousands of dollars by converting their home to solar energy. My friends at Varengo are the best. They're the gold standard in the industry, the largest residential provider of solar energy in Southern California, and they have an A-plus rating with a Better Business Bureau. Call Varengo, 800-3...